This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a warm-hearted welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. Thank you for tuning in today, and please join us on this station every Sunday for worship with us.
What does it mean to be spiritually awakened? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. God in heaven, we pray that you who have given us the Word will also be the one who empowers us to understand what that Word says. For Lord, so often we know it, we have learned it intellectually, but we yet have to understand its true meaning. Through your Word, grant that we may see ourselves in the lives of your disciples as they were wrestling with that same problem, and grant that the message that they finally received and opened their hearts to be loyal witnesses of yours will also be found true in us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ. We live in a different world. How often have you made this statement or question? Or how often has someone said it to you? We live in the world of technology, of computers and cell phones and all the rest. I don't understand them at all. But my friends who have pretty good knowledge of them will say, you don't have to understand them to enjoy them. So just go ahead and enjoy them. And so I enjoy my computer, and I enjoy my cell phone that I can make a call to just about any place in the world from my pocket. That is a marvelous thing. But it is a world that I don't begin to understand. I use that comparison this morning when I think of the disciples of old and what they had gone through with our Lord. I think of that story of Jesus with the disciples when he said to them, I'm going to go and leave you. And then I will come again after I have prepared a house for you. And when I come back and get you, we're going to live together for all eternity. And you know the place where I'm going. Now, I don't know exactly what the setting was, but this is what my mind makes me want to believe it was. That when Jesus finally expounded on all of this, Thomas, who sometimes was called the doubter, turned to him and said, Jesus, let's get it clear right here. I, for one, and I'm sure that I have others among the 12, don't understand what you're talking about. You're going to prepare a place for us. Where is it? Where's the way? We don't understand it. Yes, intellectually we know that you say that you're the Savior, and you make reference to dying on a cross as atonement for our sins. And we ponder those things intellectually. But the message yet is repulsive to us. It has not grabbed our hearts. And then the Lord says to Thomas, Thomas, do you not know that I am the way and the truth and the life? No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Well, if that conversation went on, then another one of the disciples says, Father, I don't understand it either. I guess I'm glad that Thomas broke the ice and we can really have a heart-to-heart talk. Yeah, we know what you said, but I guess it doesn't quite add up. We believe it if you said it, but what power does it have over us? It depresses us to think you're going to go and leave us. Now, if you'll do just one thing, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus then turns to Philip and says, Don't you know, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? I still think that probably Philip and Thomas did not understand. How could they? They were living in a different world. They could cast it aside and say, well, let's enjoy it, but we will never be able to explain it to anybody else. We can't quite figure out the depth of this whole message. Then Jesus says to them, Okay, I take you where you are, but I will ask my Father, and he will give you another counselor. That counselor was the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you forever. He is a spirit of truth. Then you will understand. They were living in another world, the eternal home with God forever. Only the Holy Spirit could make these truths really personal to them. And so the days went by, and Jesus suffered and died at the cross, and paid the price for our sins. Easter Sunday came 3 days later, and there he was raised from the grave, and they couldn't understand it. Even then Thomas said, Unless I can put my fingers into those nail-pierced hands, I will not believe, I can't believe that he has been raised from the dead. Those things just don't happen. Well, then Jesus came and said, Okay, Thomas, here's my hand. put your fingers in there if you want to. You must do it. And here's that side where the sword penetrated. Put your fist in there. Then he began to understand. Not completely, I don't believe, because it was still in another world. Jesus was with him, then he was gone. They were behind closed doors, and there he stood. What does this all mean? But then, 50 days after Jesus was raised, the Holy Spirit came in a most marvelous, miraculous, and new way. And that was the day when there was a great deal of a disturbance in the city of Jerusalem. It was Pentecost Sunday. We celebrated it in our churches on May 23rd, a very, very important church holiday, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And you know the story, perhaps. If you don't, then you can read it in Acts 2, that there was a lot of commotion around there, and there were people who had come from all around in their world. There were people there from Egypt. There were people there from Rome. And as they were mingling among those people who were being attacked some way with little flames of fire, they asked, "What has happened? We're hearing the gospel. We're hearing a message, at least, in our own language, but we don't understand it. Jesus died? He died for the sins of the world? It doesn't all make sense. And that this is the promised Messiah?" And somebody said it to one of these inquirers, "Oh, they're just drunk. Too much wine they've had." And then it was that Peter stood up and began to preach. Now remember that Peter was a man who denied Jesus only a few days before this. And now he's standing right there and he's preaching that the prophets had told that Jesus was coming. And so he did come, and he did die, and he did atone for our sins. But that you and I, Peter said, are sinful individuals. And he went on and told what we have done. And then it was that 3,000 people, at least, came forward, and he asked the question, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit." Now he's talking about receiving the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. They didn't have all that theology in those days. But God is going to come and live in your heart. And he's going to lead you, and he's going to guide you, and he's going to empower you, and he's going to give you security. All of that. You now have had Christ for you. Now you have the Holy Spirit in you. And you will be different people. And suddenly Peter understood this. Now he had something that lived within his soul. God was speaking to him from within. And he stood there and proclaimed that word. And it bore fruit. 3,000 came to faith in Christ, were baptized, and the Church of Jesus Christ was born. The true church, those who trusted and believed in Christ Jesus and were baptized into his name. That is, from the very beginning, the true church. Now, I know that I preach to some today who have understood because they have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. He speaks to us not in a way that is perhaps almost emotional. Sometimes it can be very emotional. But he speaks to us in that word. And as we sit in our houses and read that word and hear him say, "If you trust me, I will forgive you," then we can know that we're forgiven. If it's been a heavy day, and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you," that's enough. He's going to see us through. If a loved one has died trusting in the Savior, and your hearts are broken because, oh, how you'd love to have her or him with you. But he says, I have taken him to be with me in heaven. That gives you comfort. You see, those words are not just words on the pages of a book or spoken in a church, but these are divine truths. See the difference, friend? This is a work of the Holy Spirit. He grabs you. Or maybe you have something like this. You have a loved one. And that loved one knows the way, but has not yet received it. Maybe it's a parent. You met the Lord on the university campus, or in the military, or at work. And now you want to share it with your father and mother who have been absolutely comfortable in just going to church very regularly and be able to spit it all out, but had no power of that gospel as they lived it out in their home. You want your loved ones to know about that Savior. The Holy Spirit alone can do it. Or maybe it's a child, and you're longing for that child to come home. Same way. And you may ask the question today, but how can I get him or her to have that experience? The only way that I know, friend, is to keep them in the Word. The only way that that Holy Spirit is going to speak that I know of is through what the church says, the means of grace. The Holy Spirit speaks through the means of grace. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word. The Holy Spirit speaks through the sacraments. And as he speaks, Jesus meets us. And there it all is. It is not just one experience in a lifetime. It is an experience again and again as we feel him guiding us, directing us, leading us. You may wonder, if you're sharing that faith, what good it does. I, as one of the pastors, and I'm sure that this is the prayer of many pastors, on a Sunday morning, is that this will be the day when all of this that the people have known who sit before you suddenly becomes reality in their life. And one of these people is spiritually awakened. Maybe he or she is converted. Won't that be a wonderful day? I would pray on my way to the church on Sunday. God, could we have many? But if not many, could we have just one? Who would mark this day as a day when he really came to know you as a Savior and the Lord. That is a prayer for every faithful pastor along life's way. I'm reminded of a story that I read years ago. Perhaps some of you have heard it. I might have told it. It's found in Chuck Colson's book, Born Again. I may have some of this just a little bit out of line because it's getting foggy after all these years. But Billy Graham was conducting a campaign in New York City. His meetings were being held in Madison Square Garden. And one night there was a person who came there by the name of Tom Phillips, who, as I recall, was the head of Raytheon, a large corporation. Why did he go there? I don't know. But he was there. Was he an unbeliever? I don't know. He was a man who belonged to a mainline denomination. So without a doubt, he had had some training, or he could not be on that membership roll. He perhaps could recite to you some of the things that Jesus is supposed to have done, died on a cross, raised again, ascended, and so forth. But perhaps he just didn't know him. And that night when Mr. Graham gave the invitation, Tom Phillips received Jesus Christ, and he became a new man. As best as I can understand that story, that was his Pentecost. He was spiritually awakened. He was converted. His life was turned around. And soon people knew about it. And they came to him and asked him for help. For they needed that help of being able to live with that Jesus day in and day out. And one day a friend by the name of Chuck Colson came. He was on his way to prison, and he needed some help. And so again, as I recall, Mr. Phillips shared the gospel with Colson, told him that if he wanted to receive Jesus Christ, Christ would come into his life and he would change it. And then he gave him a copy of C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, and told him to read it. Colson did. And he had his Pentecost. When his life was changed, and you know what happened to that man, I pray. He went to prison. He observed what was happening in prison. He saw those young men, and of course young women too, in other prisons. Something had to be done. Chuck Colson went out and started prison ministry. And through that ministry, hundreds and hundreds of young people have heard, and old people as well, have heard the gospel behind the bars, and are new men and women in Jesus Christ. I tell you, friend, there are many wonderful stories like this. Stop and ask some of your saints of God you know about their Pentecost, how it happened in their lives, and find out what they have to say. Oh yeah, we live in a new age. There's no question about that. The age of technology, and in a few years there will be something else. But this is a new age that goes on into eternity. For when you live life with Jesus by your side, and he is a part of your vision, and you look out and watch him guiding you all the way, then you know that words cannot completely explain it, but you have been grabbed by that still small voice that says to you one day when you need him the most, I'm with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always go with you. Yes, you sinned against me yesterday, and I was disappointed. But I forgive you. And we go on life's way together. That, my friend, is the gospel. And that becomes living and real. When the Comforter, whom the Father has given to us, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, leads us into all of the truths of that word that the human mind cannot fully understand, but God can reveal to you. Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me.
So shall
Holy Spirit, we pray that you will work through this word again today, that someone who might be listening to this radio program in their cars, in their boats, or wherever life finds them, may hear the message that you love them, that you have died for them, that you sustain them, that you will comfort them. But Lord, we know that human words cannot do it, and so we ask for a rich outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that this can be Pentecost Sunday for someone who listens to Christian Crusaders, that it may be Pentecost Sunday to the millions around the world who come to the churches. Give to us able presenters of the gospel, but help all of us who have that marvelous opportunity to realize nothing is accomplished until the Holy Spirit walks with us. To that end, Lord Jesus, be our Savior and our Lord, and use us as you used those disciples, some like those who counseled, asked Jesus questions on his day, a man like Philip. Grant that as he was brought to the light, so we too may be brought to that light. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's sermon will fill you with the light of the Lord as you begin a new week of life. Since 1936, Christian Crusaders has been dedicated to telling the most important story in the world, the story of Jesus Christ. Our ministry has been sustained in this effort by the generous gifts of our listening audience. An estate gift can ensure the continued existence of Christian Crusaders for a matter of months or even years. If you are able, please consider remembering Christian Crusaders in your estate planning. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. How does God build his church? Scripture tells us how Jesus' message of salvation, first told to 12 disciples, spread to thousands of hungering people to hear the good news of the living Christ. In the final volume of his DVD video sermon series, Basic Biblical Truths, Reverend Larson encourages us to follow the biblical example to carry the same message to those who need to hear his life-changing story. How Does God Build His Church? Is available for a suggested donation of $10 by calling 1-888-693-2484 or by visiting christiancrusaders.org on your computer. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.